Hey, Perry.
Sure?
Yeah, the last thing did with. What am I saying? The end of Perry Dalad. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Leave Ziv Yatech Atov. Ziv Kuz Divrei Tzedek. Okay, we're up to Pasik or Tess. Just one more Pasik. Pasik Tess. B'shalom Yachtov Eshkeva V'ishon Kiyato Hashem Levodot Levetach Toshivin. It's a hard Pasik. Okay, we did all the other Rashis. Yes, we did. Okay, so let's see Pasuk Tes in the Mitzudah Stavit first, over the Rashi. There's a Pasuk Tes in the Mitzudah Stavit. On the bottom of page 36, the Bishalom Yachtov, Mibli Pachad, within peace, Bishalom, in peace, Yachtov Eshkeva V'Ishan. So the word Yachtov, Eshkva v'yishon yachtav. It's interesting over here. There seems to be, I don't know if this is a mistake. Is there another girsa? I don't believe so. But over here, for some reason, the Mitzvah Stavit puts the word yachdov after the word eshkva v'yishon. I never saw something like this.
I would explain it to say that the eshkva v'yishon will be the yachad. Usually you lie down, but you can't fall asleep.
You
know what he said?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the pshat.
Yeah, I will lie down, v'ishan. Yachtov tekuf mzel is this.
Maybe the bold is an error.
Could be. Okay, the bold is an error. Okay. Usually include.
Recording in progress.
He usually has every single word over here. Yeah. One second, put it over here. Good morning, Abeleza. Sorry for the delay. Dr. Fastag, sorry for the delay here. Okay, so over here on page 36 on the bottom, B'shal B'bli Pachad, B'shal B'bli Tekufim Zelazem, Ki Adoyeg U'mispached Nigzla Shinosa, Lebal Yuchal Lishon Miyot Kasher Yishkaf. A person who is in a state of fear is unable to sleep. I'm able to go to sleep. So here he's telling us a very, very fascinating idea. The word yachtav means immediate. I immediately fall asleep when I lie down, because people, Rachmana Litzlah, who suffer from different daigos, worries, they can lie down on the bed all they want, but they will not fall asleep. They don't have the ability. So here he writes, B'shalom, in a state of peace, only because I am in a state of peace, meaning that I have faith in Hashem, am I able to yachdov eshkeva v'ishon. Only because I have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu do I have the ability to lie down and then to immediately fall asleep together. And then it concludes, Kiato Hashem Levodot, you Hashem Levodot, Mitzudos, Kiato Hashem Hamashal Bakol Vyotchahu Lahayshiv, I see you Hashem who rules over everything, and it's in your power to support me, Bevetach, with security, Kiato Hashem Levodot, all alone, only you Hashem, okay, Dafka Vyotchahu Lahayshiv, I see the Betach with security, Tayshiveni, you will restore me. Lo hayshiv, I see you will restore me. What do you mean restore me back? So if you're talking about Avshalom, if you want to look at this mizmor is a reference to Avshalom, so it means that I'll be able to come back home. Or even it's reference to Shaul, he was on the run from Shaul, he'll be able to return. Or if you don't want to learn the Lashon of return, Toshiveni, you will settle me. Lashon of Vayeshev Yaakov Eretz and Migureo Vibi Eretz Kanon. Vayeshev Bikesh Yaakov Leishev Bishalva. So the word Toshiveni, Lashon Vayeshev Yaakov, means that you'll be able to provide me with security to dwell at peace. So let's review the passage very quickly one more time. Bishalayim. He tied his Bishalayim means, I really jumped again. I told you what the Bishalayim over here means with faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's put that aside. Bishalayim means without fear, Yachdov Eshkeva V'Yishon. I'm able to lie down and immediately fall asleep because I'm in a state of peace. I have nothing to worry about. How could I have nothing to worry about? There are so many people that are trying to kill me. There are so many different concerns that I have. So how is it even possible for me to lie down in the state of peace? So the answer is because you Hashem, it's from you that I have faith. Ki ato Hashem, you Hashem levodod, alone, levetach. You are the only one in whom I place my sense of security. There, toyshiveni, you Hashem are the only one that can provide me with tranquility. With tranquility in a state of security. They are two different words which really go to it. Only you, Hashem, can provide me with a secure state of tranquility. This last week's parasha, what does it say, Rabbi Mayevsky? Is the book Lufloge in the Chumash?
Betach.
They were in pain. And they came upon the city Betach. So what does it mean Betach? What does Rashi there say? Betach. I forgot all of them. One of the perushim, they were confident in the zuchus of the zokim. That's what one. I think Rashi gives a few perushim, but one of the perushim Betach with the sense of. A sense of security, confidence. We like to translate with confidence. And there, what was the confidence? The zuchus of the zokim. Who's the zokim? Yaakov Avinu. Even though Yaakov ended up giving them harsh musar, what are you doing? They're going to rise up now and they're going to fight back.
Well, maybe what the pasuk meant is that since when it says when the brothers came home, Vayavo min asodeh, when they came home and they all discussed it and they all got together, it says they all discussed it together,
that's
the lashon of the pasuk, mm-hmm. And they decided on a course of action. The only difference is Yaakov thought that they would either not want to be gemalid, or they would, and if they would, then they would be able to, in their state, they'd be able to take Dina home. And that would be the end of it. Because Shimon and Levi preempted the whole scenario. They thought perhaps that Yaakov would be on board with the situation because he went along with the idea to tell them to be gemalit. So they felt by Ovo Aloya Betta,
they want to say
if they did it with the thought of, with the schus of Yaakov, they thought maybe Yaakov would be on board with it.
But that was a mistake.
Yeah.
Right. So Betach, according to Rashi, Betach doesn't just mean, what was the confidence? You would think that the confidence was that they had a superb battle plan. And the answer is no. That's not, but you could have the best battle plan, you need merit. I remember the night of Rosh Hashanah. I told you this story probably, just very quickly, tell again. It just always echoes in my mind the story. It really made an impression on me. On the night of Rosh Hashanah, so the Rosh Hashiva Rai Davin spoke, right? Pinchas Wallace, he spoke the night of Rosh Hashanah, and he said over a very fascinating story it's probably a famous story, I don't know much about it. Many, many years ago in Eretz Yisrael, in the Knesset, there was a resolution passed to allow abortion in Eretz Yisrael. Yes, Eretz Yisrael is not America. Eretz Yisrael was the Holy Land, and obviously there's a sensitivity, even though we have a secular government, but there's a sensitivity to Davasha, the Kedusha, not to allow the law in the land to allow abortion. I'm talking about an abortion that is Shalaika Halach. There are many situations where abortion is permitted, types of abortions which are clearly connected Kol HaTorah Kulo. And the Haredim, obviously, the religious parties were obviously up in arms, and they wanted, there was one particular vote, I don't know all the details, it goes back probably many, many years ago, even probably 50 years ago, and there was one particular vote in the Knesset that would make the world of a difference.
I remember you said this.
Right. So they went to one of the Gedolei Yisrael who had a shaychus with this person. They told him, if you'll speak to him, maybe you can make a dent in him. So they went to him and he said, okay, fine, I will go to him on one tonight. That, I don't know the details, but a group of us has to fast for 3 days in a row. Okay, they're not going to fast at night. We're going to fast from the morning until the evening, 3 days in a row. We're going to say Tehillim. We have to be mispalel. We have to prepare ourselves spiritually that we should have zuchus, that when we'll be matzliach, successful, when we confront this person and we sort of get an appointment for him, they fasted 3 days, it was a big to do, they davened, they come there, and he tells them, you know, he shocked everyone by telling them, you know, I know your family. We go back a long time. That's why they selected this person, because he knew that they knew each other. We go back a long time. Let me tell you a little secret. Your mother was pregnant with you, and your mother was about to, was going to have an abortion. You know, you can marry, you can Google this to find all the details. Your mother was going to have an abortion with you, and something happened, and someone prevailed upon your mother not to have an abortion, whatever the story was. And that's why you're here. That's why you're alive, then, because your mother did not abort you, and she was planning without any question to abort you. So he was in shock. He didn't believe him, because mother was still alive. He calls up his mother, and his mother said, it's true. Everything that this person told you is true. He was so shaken up that he became, in the Knesset, the force to abolish this proposed law. And kacha. So it was an incredible victory. But the knockout punch was so great. The argument was so powerful. So they said to this person, whoever he was, why did we have to fast for 3 days? You had such a powerful winning argument. I mean, what you did, it shook into the core.
Right.
And you won like nothing. Why did you demand of us, this whole chevra, to fast for 3 days, say Tehillim? So he said to them, and this haunts me, Ariam, as they said, it says, you could have the best battle plan. You could have the best arguments. You can have everything can be perfect, perfect, perfect. No siyata d'shmaya? Without Hashem on your team? It doesn't make a bit of a difference. The best weapons, the best strategy, the best everything without tefillah, teshuvah, tzedakah, zero, we would have lost. So it says in this week's parasha, Vayavai al hi'ir betach. They had a great plan. They had a great plan. They're 3 days, I was actually eavesdropping. It's funny, it's very funny how this thing came about. I was eavesdropping on Wednesday or Thursday. There was a ger where David Meyer, there was a ger in the shul. It was very obvious he was a ger, for different telltale signs that he was a ger. And there was a guy that was just schmoozing with him. They were talking very loud. And this ger was telling over his whole story. And they were talking, he was listening to this whole thing, very fascinating. He was talking about basically adults who get a bris milah. Adults, because you know, and I always thought like, okay, you know, an adult, you know, a child gets a bris milah. I went to a bris this morning, there was a bris where I davened today, a bris morning. They say that like mamash, half an hour after the bris milah, if everything goes according to plan, everything is okay, that's it, it's done. The baby is already finished, like you didn't even know what happened. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll have to come back, you know, to check and this and that, but really, it's 1, 2, 3. The baby heals very, very quickly. An adult, so we know that Avravidu is Yom Shlishi Lemila, right? Yom Shlishi, they said an adult, you know, it's not so simple. An adult is not so simple, you know, the third day is the worst. So I thought of my naivete that today, in the 21st century, maybe, you know, it's not a baby, an adult. Okay, it's not a baby, so it's not going to be over in a half an hour. It doesn't take 3 days to heal. So this guy was talking, he was very, very knowledgeable, and he was saying, no, it can take even more. People can be very, very, it can be very dangerous for some people. It can be a very dangerous thing, even a week later. It's not so pashut. That's what he claims.
That's true.
That's what he claims. It's not a simple thing. For a baby, what can take a second, and no big deal. You know, for an adult, it's different. I so that's impacted wisdom. We have a dentist over here. Our dentist, yeah. Doctor. Dr. Biedenstock. So I went to a dentist, and the dentist told me that until you, tell me if this is true, until you're 30 years old, you remove the impacted, the wisdom teeth, the upper impacted wisdom. Once you get past 30, you really need a she'elas chacham, because the bone gets so, tell me if this is true, gets so hard. Not so simple anymore to pull it out.
It depends why you're extracting.
Right, okay, it depends why.
If there's an infection,
okay, and let's say it's somewhere in the middle. But he said a young person, everything is very, when you're very young, everything is very soft.
Yeah, well, that and the danger. Teeth, that applies to everything else in the body, right, a young person.
Exactly. The danger is not, so it's amazing, a bris milah, as an infant, half an hour, the baby never knew he had a bris milah. An adult? It was a solid plan. It was the best possible strategy in the world. Yet, what does it say in Rashi? Betach. Rashi, what were they confident in? They weren't confident in their battle plan and their strategy and their swords and their training and their weapons. They were confident in one thing only. Zuchus of this. The zuchus of the zoking, Rashi said. The zuchus of the zoking. Get the best swords, the best weapons, the best strategy. So it's very interesting. Bashkoch, nothing is bashkoch. Everything is bashkoch. Nothing is a coincidence. We're learning over here right after Shabbos. After we read that, but b'shalom, b'shalom, I'm in a state of peace. Yachtav eshkav ishan, I'm peaceful, and therefore I'm able to yachtav to immediately lie down and fall. It's a very unique translation of the word. Why? Ki ata Hashem livadad. Only you, Hashem, alone. Nothing but you. Levetach toyshiveni. In confidence, with confidence, you give me the confidence to lie down at peace, like this week's parasha. This week's parasha is Vayeshev Yaakov Yeretz Nigurei Aviv. It's a very interesting, you have already a drush for Shabbos. It says the two words are juxtaposed. Levetach, that's last week's parasha. They went on the city Vetach, and this week's parasha begins with Vayeshev. Vayeshev Bikesh Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva. Betach, and the Zuchus Oysoy Zokein. So the zuchus, when you put your confidence in a higher authority, that's when you'll be able to leishev b'shalva. And that's exactly what this pasuk here says. Over here, David says, only because I put my confidence in you, Hashem, am I able to lie down in a state of peace and tranquility. Ad kidei kach, I can lie down and I can fall asleep immediately. Yachtov. There's no delay between the moment I put my head down on the pillow and I fall asleep. A person who has daigus, how am I going to marry off my children? How am I going to make parnasa? How am I going to deal with inyani refuah? You can't fall asleep at night. You can't fall asleep. You can't go say that yachtov. The second that I eshkava, I lie down, v'ishan, I fall asleep. No way. You have to be, the person is not in a state of peace. You only can achieve this incredible expression, b'shaloim yachtov eshkava v'ishan, only if a person raises himself in the spiritual world to be in a state of putting his confidence. The betach means to the confidence in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then toyshiveni, that is what will give the person the tranquility to achieve this goal, which people spend millions of dollars on, b'shaloim yachtov eshkva v'ishan. Yeah.
Everybody knows the story, I think 2 weeks ago, about a group of galachim walking through holy sites in Israel. Oh. And Lubavitcher said, anybody a Jewish?
Manhattan.
They have an extra, so the way I heard it.
What happened? I didn't hear the story.
They were by Morris HaMachpelah, a bunch of contingent of Goya, of peace.
Yeah.
And he says, is anyone here Jewish?
Yeah.
One guy says, yes, I am. My parents are Jewish.
Okay.
Holocaust survivors.
Yeah.
So he says, you know what? Let's put on tefillin.
Okay.
And he put on tefillin.
Yeah.
So a Chassidish guy was there, came running out and said, what are you putting on a guy? He says, I don't want him to be kakaf to learn the
Nechut. Yeah, okay.
He's Jewish. He says, wait, I'm a mile. I have my stuff in the car.
I'm a what?
I'm a mile.
I'm a mile.
It's going to go up in there. Yeah.
One shot deal. One shot deal. Okay, let's see over here. Rashi. Rashi, b'shom yachtav eshkeva v'ishon. Im hayu Yisrael b'shalom yachtav imi hayisi shoychev yashin betach. Rashi gives an entirely different interpretation than the Mitzudos David. And he says the word shalom is not referring to David's state of peace, David's frame of mind. According to the Mitzudos David, the word shalom means David is an internally. I am at peace with myself. According to Rashi, the shalom means if I would be at peace with my chaverim, my friends, then they would not try to kill me. If I was im hayu Yisrael b'shalom and yachtav is also now referring to immediate. You have an entirely different interpretation. Yachtav means everyone together, the whole klal yishol yakulum aguda achas. If the whole Klal Yisrael would be together in a state of peace with me, also we would all be unified, then I would be able to get a good night's rest. But guess what? I can't get a good night. It's a diametrically opposite than what the Mitzudot's David. David here is complaining that I suffer from insomnia. I cannot sleep because this condition has not been fulfilled. It's in order to fulfill the next words, Eshkav Avishan, ki the Ishan. Well, how does he? Let's see. We have to go to the next part of the pasuk. How he follows through the next words of the pasuk Rashi.
Well, what page are you on?
On page 36, page Lamed Vav Tzadik over here in the shir. Levadad levetach, kimei betach badad in Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all alone. In Yaakov, the eye of Yaakov, this really refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'shoin niftach v'sheketu, it's an expression of confidence and tranquility. She'in in toch l'hoishiv k'yosos imo, I would be in a state of tranquility. I would not need to go and have armies protecting me. So in other words, according to Rashi, disagreed with the Mitzvot David in two respects. At the end of the pasuk, the words levadad levetach toshiveni, the subject of the word vadad and betach is David. David's not Hashem. According to the Mitzvot, the subject, the word vadad is Hashem. Only you, Hashem, who is alone, who is one of a kind, and is the source of security, only you can bring me tranquility. According to the Mitzvot David, the subject of the two words Badad and Betach is a description of Hashem. Hashem is Badad. He is one of a kind. Look in the Mitzvot Tzion. Levadad Yichidi. K'may Betach Badritzir Lamar. Libli Pachad. K'ya Mispachay Misar L'Sheves. Or maybe I made a mistake. Maybe that he's also learning it like that. He's also learning over here in the Mitzudos is that I would be able to lie down. So I made a mistake. I must have seen this in another commentary, because I went through in preparation, I think everything over here. So Lebatach, okay, so let's just keep it one page. Keep it simple. David is saying that I would be able to lie down alone. I would not need a security team. I would not need so much security. You know, it's amazing. I remember I once went to Russia. I went to Eretz Yisrael not that long ago with Aeroflot. So I went through Russia. This is pre-COVID. Pre-COVID, old days, right? From different Friede Gador. Even though it was only not so long ago. And you know, they have this magnificent, beautiful airport. They really try to, even though most of the country supposedly is living in dire poverty. But in the airport, it's all for show. They want to show, you know, all the Americans. You know, they have really a spectacular airport. It's beautiful, and they have, and it's interesting. The planes, most of the planes, look very carefully. Most of the planes that fly in and out of the airport. I don't even remember. I probably went to Moscow. I don't even remember where I landed before we the second leg to go to Eretz Yisrael. the planes that fly into this airport, you look very carefully, they're all old planes. Yeah. Some of them are very old. They look like, you know, real jalopies. The real, but the planes that go to America are new planes. The planes that fly, what?
You're talking at the internal section. They have internal flights and external.
Right, right, like domestic and international. Domestic, right. So most of the airport in there, from what you see, is domestic. Russia's a massive, massive country. Humongous. And even the European, countries. So it's very, very clear that the planes that they fly to America are their own planes, their own air flight. They were the first ones, in fact, to buy the 787s. They were the first customers of the 787s, the new planes. And now there are a lot of problems with 787s, a lot of problems now, a lot of startups with 787s now. So they have cracking on them. You know, it's 787, LL is all 787. They replaced the entire fleet. Problem is, what's the mileage? They're light, because the material is not aluminum, it's made from plastic. So now they discover there are cracks in the plastic. The plastic does not have the quality control. So they have a very big problem now with the 77s to thoroughly inspect them. Got some ice.
You don't have a Fisher Price should be the contractor.
So it really took me that the plane landed. The security. As soon as the plane landed, so you get out of the plane, then you go, you look at the plane, or you're waiting to board, and I'm watching other planes land, you know, you're waiting in the airport, everything is glass. When the plane lands, they have a massive security team just to watch the plane. Just the plane lands, and they park the plane, you know, they put the things in front of the wheels, they do all these things, and there must be at least five, six guards. And they just stand around the plane 24/7. You know, you get a sense, you're in a dangerous country. Right. If they have to go, have five, six guys 24/7, not one person, five, six people just stand there on different, surrounding the airplane to guard the plane, and no one should, who knows what. And I'm sure they're armed. You know,
they used to do that.
This is Russia. What?
They did that too. There was always an Israelis in the
parking lot. Well, Eretz Yisrael is very, of course, Eretz Yisrael.
The parking lot on the Pan Am, he would stand with binoculars, and they would never park.
Far away, they could be watched. So, you know, this is a very frightening thing. When you have to have security like this, that's very frightening. David HaMelech over here, 2,000 years ago, said, Ki ato Hashem, with you Hashem, levodad levetach toshiveni. I don't need a security team. I don't need all this. I don't need armed guards. I don't need 85 cars to drive the president into the summit. Into whatever. 85 vehicles have to accompany the president of the United States. What does he need 85 vehicles to go to an event of global warming? You know how much carbon emissions the 85 vehicles? 85, a security team that's invisible. You can imagine what's invisible and the preparations. David HaMelech said, I don't need all this. It's an incredible thing not to have these daigas. B'shaloim, according to Yachtov, if only, according to Rashi, if only Klal Yisrael was at a matzah, of peace, together, we were all united, then I would be able, eshkevavi ishan, I could lie down, I can go to sleep, knowing ki ata Hashem, you Hashem levodod levetach toshivin. You Hashem, now when we're at a state of peace, you will be able to give me the confidence to go to sleep all alone. I don't need to worry about someone trying to assassinate me. I don't need to worry about all these things. But because I am not in a state of Shalom Yachtov, David is saying, according to Rashi, because Klal Yisrael is not Yachtov, they're divided, and there is infighting, and there are people who feel that I'm illegitimate, I don't belong sitting on the Kisei of Malchus. Because of that, there is no Shalom, and there is no Achdus, I cannot lie down and go to sleep. Hashem has not provided me with a feeling of security where I can be alone and dismiss my security team.
Is that what it means?
Yeah, that's how Rashi seems to learn. Look at Rashi.
I thought it meant that because Israel is disunited, you rely on Hashem for security rather than, and that's what they're causing my insecurity.
Right, exactly. Isn't that what it means? These, because they are not at peace and they are causing my insecurity.
That's why I'm insecure, but only Hashem can provide the security.
Okay, right, correct. Only Hashem. So he's not saying, look at the Rashi.
He's not saying it, but that's implied, isn't it?
I don't know. Maybe. Look at the Rashi one with him. Levetach, the holding one, the Bisholom.
What's the
Pasuk
saying?
Bisholom, the Rashi one with him. Bisholom, Yachtav, Eshkav, Yishan. Im Hoyu Yisrael. Bisholom, Yachtav, Im. If only the Jewish people were at peace with me, then, if this condition was fulfilled, Hoyisi, I would be able, to Shoychev, to lie down, Vyoshen, to sleep, Betach. He puts the word, he takes the word betach, that's later in the pasuk, and he puts it back, and he puts it in front. I'll be able to lie down with confidence. Now, you're asking the question, where then does Hashem, Kiyata Hashem, fit in over here at this pasuk? Because according to Rashi, it would be much better for the pasuk to omit those words and just say, Bishalom Yachtav, if there was only peace, united peace, then Eshkava V'ishan Levodav Levetach. So then, Levod Levetach, Kimoy Betach Bodad in Yaakov, the Jewish people, they are isolated, they're unique. Lashon Miftach Vesheket, who Sha'in Etzach Lahoshev Giyosa Simo, there's no need to have soldiers. But Rashi is not explaining what is the purpose of the Pasuk saying over here, Ki Atar Abachol is pointing out correctly. What's the purpose of the Pasuk? According to the way Rashi is giving us this interpretation, there is no need for the words Ki Atar Hashem Toshiveini. Those words are superfluous. According to the Mitzvot David, we need those words. Because David over here is saying is, the reason why I am able to lie down, I do sleep well. David over here is saying, I sleep very well. When I go to sleep, I have inner peace. The word shalom is referring to himself. I have inner peace. Yachtov, immediately, that's how he translates it, immediately, eshkeva v'ishon. The moment after I put my head down on my pillow, I'm out like a light. I have no daigus. I'm in inner peace. You know why I'm inner peace? Because kiyatah Hashem. Because I have faith in you, Hashem. You, Hashem, I put my faith in. And that is why you've given me the confidence to be levodad levetach. I can lie down all alone with no one watching me in a state of confidence. Toshiveini. It's because I put my faith in you, Hashem, that's why I'm able to lie down in a state of peace and serenity. But according to Rashi, he's not learning the Pshat and the Pasuk like this. Rashi learns that the word b'shalom yachtov does not the word shalom does not mean my inner peace. Shalom means the peace of the Jewish people. Yachtov, according to Rashi, does not mean immediately. And it's coming to tell us that I fall asleep immediately after I lie down. According to Rashi, Yachta refers to the Jewish people. And then you have to add in more words into the pasuk. If only the Jewish people were united in Achdus and Shalom, then I would be able to Eshkava V'ishan. So now, what is
this?
What?
Achdut in me. If Israel and I would be together.
Im hayu Yisrael b'shalom yachav imi. Okay. Together, we're all the same team. Yeah. Then I would be able to lie down and go to sleep in levodad betach. But then Rashi is not really explaining these middle words. Kiyato Hashem toshiveini. It's almost like you have to take a a razor and slice them out and put them at the end of the pasuk,
right,
which we do anyway all the time.
The manuscript did not have Kiyato.
No, impossible. You can't say that. You can't say that. Unless you have no. We don't say that.
The other point, a real point, is he's how you Yisrael. Is it Yisrael? Isn't it based of it? together?
What were you referring to? In Hayu Yisrael?
Yisrael? Rashi's point.
Rashi's
is Yisrael b'sholom yachdav. Is it Yisrael or is it Beis David? It's his house. His children that are revolting against him.
No, wait. This mizmor we discussed a few times is not necessarily referring to Avshalom. It's referring to in general. In general, David was had issues with Klal Yisrael, not just with his own family. There were many people that even until through David's death, they never accepted him. It's only in the lifetime of Shlomo HaMelech that he was finally retroactively acknowledged as being the Melech. David had opposition his entire life. Because people always claim that Lo Yavi Moyavi Bekal Hashem, he's a Moavi. People, so it wasn't just Shaul and Ishbosheth and Avshalom and other detractors. It was the whole. There were elements of the entire Klal Yisrael
coming from his family. And, you know, say what we will, the public outcry is not there. It's his children that are forming the troops.
All right. I don't know. Okay, but let's. I want to spend some time. Let's do a few little things here. I want to go back and learn the beginning of the Mizmar. Okay, there's a beautiful Radak. There's a very powerful Radak. We're not going to do, of course, we're only doing very selective Mefarshim. I want to do the Radak in the beginning of Mizmar Dalit. The beginning of Mizmar Dalit on page 31. Okay, because since this, we're going to come across this very often, this word, here is where he spells it out. Lamatzech b'neginos. Okay, we'll just skim through it very quickly on page 31. Here is where he explains the meaning, the precise meaning of the word lamatzech. We commonly choose to translate it as for the conductor. This mizmar is for the conductor. Lamatzech for the conductor, b'neginos with melody. Mizmar, a song, LeDavid, that was composed by David HaMelech. It's very important to put your name, authorship on a mizmar. If you don't know who the author is, who says it's legitimate? So David, many of the mizmarim, it's critical that we know who composed this mizmar. Piyutim, many piyutim are necrastic. It's a very important thing to always get a person's name, and here it's the mizmar LeDavid. And this is Lam Natsa. So what exactly is the word Lam Natsa? So here, look at the Radak, page 31. Lam Natsa, the Ginois, Amr, Abbas, and Azal, HaMizmah, HaZeh, Nehmer, B'Shloshah, B'Nei Shevach. There are three different expressions. Number one is B'Nei Tzuach. That's the first expression. B'Nei Gun, a melody, B'Mizmah. He's not telling us the difference between these praises. But one thing we can certainly learn over here, right off the bat, that the Radak, at least in this interpretation, the word Lam Natsa does not mean for the conductor. It's not what it means. Lamatzeach, according to the Radak, is an expression of shevach, praise. There are different types of praise. When you praise a child, it's not the way you praise a parent. The way you praise a parent is not the way you praise a guest of honor at a yeshiva dinner. And the way you praise a guest of honor at a yeshiva dinner is not the way you deliver a eulogy for any a regular person, a person, an acquaintance. There are different methods, different words, different tones. There are different ways to sing someone's praises. So it's very hard, obviously, it's almost impossible to get a flavor, a feeling of what is defined for me, the praise called Nitzuach, and the praise called a Nigun, and the praise called a Mizmar. I always thought Neginas means a melody, a Negina, the Negina Orchestra. No,
well,
that's not
what
the
Ebenezer says. You see what the Ebenezer
says. Right. So we look. We actually did learn.
He wrote it. He liked it, and he told the musicians to put
to play. So therefore, it's for the conductor with a melody, and these are the words. David says here, "I want the conductor. I want the Levian, the master maestro. I want to give this into his book. He should have this in his records. That every once in a while, when they sing on the duch, when they sing Shira, he should sing this song." And you should use this melody. If you don't use the right melody, you're going to destroy it. Okay, you're going to destroy. How many times do you have people they complain that they take a pasuk and they apply a melody which is inappropriate? They take a fast melody for words that really should be expressed slowly, or you take words that should really be expressed levadic and you express it with the wrong melody.
That That's how the Karlin's song that everybody sings now on Shabbat. He composed the
verse. For the words.
And the melody.
And the melody, right. Those are the best. When you compose the melody,
it's called everybody singing now.
That's the success. When you have the melody is composed for the words, not when you superimpose a melody upon words. So that's how maybe Ibn Ezra learns. Lanatseach. This is for the conductor. Make sure the conductor gets a hold of this psalm. He's going to sing this on the Dukhan. And these are the musical notes. If you don't sing the musical notes, then you're gonna miss the whole point of the melody. And it's a song, it's a psalm. And don't forget, I wrote it. Don't forget to give me attribution, otherwise I'll sue you. I'll take you to court. But that's not what it says in the Radak. The Radak says Lamatzeach is an expression of Shevach. Beneginois is another form of praise, Shevach. Mizmar is a Shevach, a whole new interpretation, a whole new world of interpretation. Let's see quickly. So I'm going to say, "Zahal mizmar hazenema b'shlosha b'nei shevach b'nitzuach b'nigun b'mizmar v'hanira ki hamenatzeach hu asher hoya al hameshayrim." Now he's giving over. He's singing over here a little something a little bit. It seems like he's saying something a little bit different now. It appears the minatzeach, he is in charge of the singers. Now he seems to be shifting gears here, and he said that he's the conductor. The Ali de Haminatzchim Hoyune Morim Hamizmoim. Through the Minatzchim, through the singers, were the Mizmoirim recited. Now, what does that mean? The Hoyunoisnim Oisam Lame Nagnim, the Lame Shoyrim. And they would give this over to another group, two groups of people. Those that played musical melodies, and those that Umshoyrim means the singers, it seems. I'm not exactly sure what he means like this. You don't find in any mokoim lamashoyer v'lamenagin ella lamnatzeach. In other words, this mizmor is unique. This mizmor is being given over to the. I'm not even sure what this means. Let's look a little bit further. And let's read. V'chein b'tfilas Chanakuk. Lamnatzeach b'negi noisoi v'chein k'siv lenatzeach al melechas beis Hashem u'k'siv b'chi noiros al hashminis lenatzeach v'yeshoi b'natzeach al kli anikro negi nois. There were those that would be minatzeach. What does it mean minatzeach exactly? It means they would play, they would express themselves on a musical instrument called a negina. So now he's telling us a whole new interpretation. This is what it's. I'm reading over. You reading 31. He's.
No, I see that, but what he's saying is that.
Let's see what he says. I don't know. I really don't. I just want to read you the words. He's saying over here that now he's telling us the word neginos is the name of a musical instrument. Let's go further. The yesh al kliyan nikra shminis. With musical instruments were, they said, the songs and the nigunim, the hatihilois. It's very almost impossible to translate the book, because I don't know what I'm saying. But look at the vocabulary. The vocabulary are mesherim, there are tihilois, there are nigunim, there are ne'emorim. They were said like zog zmiros. You know the joke, the Litvaks who can't sing for the life of them. So when it comes Shabbos, what do you say? Nu, zog zmiros. Say the zmiros. You don't sing the zmiros at the Shabbos table. You say yom zemuchubos. You don't sing it. You say it. So it says it was said. Hayu ne'emorim hashirim v'hanigunim v'hatilos. Each one had his unique melody. It arouses the hanefesh hachochma. What does that expression mean? I don't know. It's included. It's counted. What does that mean? That music is included in the chokhmah sachit, so like philosophy, the sciences, there's the chokhmah music.
In non-Torah areas of knowledge.
Why is it called not Torah? The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, says some very powerful words about this. Okay, whatever it means. There is obviously, that goes without saying, there's a chokhmah.
What you're saying is that general, it never says, includes everyone.
Obviously,
except when it says the favorish, the dina is when he's talking to a specific.
Okay, let's see. Let's read a little bit more. Let's see what it says. The akelim shoyu v'esamim l'shalahalel heim. What are the musical instruments? Heim nivolim v'chinoyrois umitzil tayim v'shoyfar v'chatzaytrois. And the kelim were divided, they were used for specific melody, specific mizmorim. There are neginos that are called alamois. K'moshe kasev, benevolim al alamois. The chasev al alamois shir. Yesh nikra neginos, v'vohoyu nemar zeha mizma. This was said with the musical instrument called the neginos. V'yesh mehem nikra maskil. V'yesh mehem nikra michtam. The Yesh Shigoyon. He said all of these words are musical instruments. The Yesh Mehem Nichilois. The Yesh Shigoyonis. The Yesh Gitis. The Yesh Nikra Min Kelim Osor. The Yesh Ugov. The Yesh Minim. The Chol Echot Choluk Beniginos. Each one was unique. Moshe Gushal Yudu Eitzel Balei Chokma. Umatsanu Kasav Echot Omer. The Arbas Alafim Halalim LaHashem. There were 4,000 players. Bechelim. Asher osisi lehalel v'loy noida im asher hoyu akil biyodim heim asher hoyu omer ha-mizma b'fiyem o im hoyu yachad ha-mishorim b'peh u'chinegdom asher hoyu minagnim b'chli. Does this mean that the one who actually sang, he also played the musical instrument? You go to a wedding. So sometimes the singer is also at the keyboard. The person who's singing is also simultaneously playing a musical instrument, a guitar. Very classic. 99% of people play the guitar are the singers. Okay, it all depends. Or no. Ha'iluchud v'ha'iluchud. There's a singer and the singer does not play the musical. Doesn't say, we don't know. Umotzanu kosev echon pas says v'halavim b'chlei shir asher asa David ha'melech l'hoides l'ashem kililim chasev v'halel David biyadam. It was in their hands. V'yakayinim Mechatzitzrim Knegdam V'oid Ksev Hashir Mishor V'hachatzitzrois Mechatzitzrim V'hachatzitzrois L'vadim Choyim B'deyakoy Han Mekom Shekosu. Okay, he goes on over here. We'll leave it with that. All we take out of over here is that he's throwing around a lot of words and he's opening up ideas, and there's something over here that I don't know. Obviously, I don't know what I'm talking about, so I can't even grasp what he's saying over here, but at least we can appreciate is that there are many, many different types of musical instruments that we really do not know what they are. You know, I have some at home that show, they try to make believe they know what they are, and they show pictures of musical instruments, drums, and harps, the harp with the seven strings, the harp with the 10 strings, and this type of flute and that type of flute. Okay. If this is what it is, what?
There is a museum in Yerushalayim.
Right.
They show the kelim.
Beautiful.
Is it really accurate?
No, they show kelim from all over the world, not just Israel. Right, so. There's so many.
Whatever.
It's very interesting.
We have over here a whole long list of expressions.
Which museum are you referring to? Musical instruments. Yeah, the one in right downtown.
Yeah.
Hey, they're all different types, and there are many different words. And according to some of the commentators, these words refer to musical instruments. According to others, it refers to a form of a shevach, a form of praise. And according to others, the conductor, it's very complicated. We have here, he lamatzeach b'neginos mizmor l'David. If you go through this radak we went through, I'm all confused. And the one that he seems to say, the word lamatzeach is a form of shevach. On the other end, he seems to say that it's for the conductor. On the other end, maybe it refers to a specific type of musical instrument. So what is it? Is it a musical instrument? Is it, or maybe it's a person that has a unique talent, a certain type of singer, a person that has a unique voice. So over here we have these three words, Lamatzeach, Beneginos, Mizmor L'David. And obviously there are many, many different approaches to what the precise translation of these words. Is it a melody? Is it a composition? Is it a form of shabach? Is it a musical instrument? Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. They're all obviously, depending on the context, they all can be absolutely true. Okay, let's go to another idea. Want to go to, I marked off a couple of things over here. Page 35. On page 35, okay, let's look at the pasuk v'doy musela. I find this to be very interesting. Okay, the pasuk over here, let's just review that pasuk. Okay, zivchu zivchu tzedek zivchu l'Hashem, okay, you shall sacrifice of righteousness and faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rabim oimerim, which pasuk is this? I'm looking for the right pasuk. It's really the previous pasuk. I'm sorry. Let's go back just for a moment to page 32. On page 32, we learn the pasuk, Rigzu v'yaltechetohu, imru v'lvavchem al mishkavchem v'doy musela. So we learn the pasuk on the pasuk. Rigzu, the pasuk is the person should tremble. What should he tremble about? He should tremble knowing that he's not allowed to sin. Hashem has given him instructions, taryag mitzvahs. He's given him instructions what to do, what not to do, and he should take it seriously. And he should tremble when he reflects upon the thought of the instructions, the al techetohu. That's how we learn the pasuk. When you realize that you are instructed by Hashem not to sin, and it's so easy to sin, it's so easy to slip, to fall, and violate Hashem's will, it should make you tremble. Imru v'lvavchem al mishkavchem, and you should reflect upon this when you have a free moment. When do you have a free moment? When the world is not coming to an end. When is a person able to think about life? When? When you're lying down. When you go to sleep. When you go lie down and go to sleep, then you have a few moments to reflect. Imru v'lvavchem al mishkavchem, v'doimu sel, the way we learn parashat is v'doimu, and when you will reflect that Hashem has instructed you not to sin, you will then commit yourself to be doim, to not utter a word of sheker. When the, tomorrow morning you'll be confronted, you'll have a nisoyon, and you can wiggle your way out by lying, you'll remember the commitment you made last night on your bed when you thought about the purpose of life and what you're here for in this world, you'll remember your commitment, and when the nisoyon presents itself, you will be silent from saying a lie. V'doimu goes back according to Rashi, what it says above, tivakshu chozov, you seek falsehood. Okay, that was the pashut pshat. Look at the Radak on page 35.
I thought it's something else, but imru b'vavchem rigzu al techtav. When you fall asleep,
yeah,
make a decision.
Okay, that's another shot. Okay. Rash doesn't say that, I think Rash says that. Rigzu chirdu milifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'al techetoh. Be afraid of Hashem, do not sin. Imru l'vavchem al mishkavchem, hashivu al l'vavchem. When you're lying on your bed, think about this. Apply this lesson to yourself. Shehizir HaKadosh Baruch Hu al koch. That Hashem has given you this command not to sin. And then, what is the consequence of this? V'doy musel, indeed, Rashi is silent over here, but the Mitzvah David says, look at the Mitzvah David, what does it say? V'doy musel, imru, on page 33, imru v'yosef al mishkavchem, she'es asher machsheves ha'odam penuyo minatir da'os cheshvu b'vachem, asher ha'kozov hura, b'enei ha'mokoyim, that either lies or evil in the eyes of Hashem, v'shisku lo'olam midaber kozov. The ikar kavana, commitment a person should make when he goes to sleep at night, is a commitment that he's not going to lie. George Washington. I will never tell a lie. That's the ikar commitment a person should
George
make.
George Washington slept here.
That's where he slept everywhere.
Is an ikar commitment, primary commitment a person should make when he's lying on his bed at night before he shuts down, is I accept upon myself, I commit myself not to lie. I will be an honest person. That's a very, very interesting idea. It's Mitzvah Tzavim. Rigzu v'yal techetoch, imru v'lvavchem al mishkavchem. What's the commitment? What are you going to say? The commitment is, say, v'doimu, I'll be quiet. Tomorrow, when someone asks me a question, and I'm embarrassed, and I can wiggle my way out by lying, or I can gain money by lying, I'm gonna say in my heart at this critical moment where I have clarity, doim, quiet, shtoik, don't lie. That's how the mitzvah stuff is shown in the pasuk. Now look, look at the Radak. The Radak on page 35. We see where it says pasuk zvav zivchu zivchei tzedek. If you go up a couple of lines, if you go up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. V'doy musela kiloimar chidlu lochem imaaseichem. He learns different than the mitzvahs. It means that don't do evil deeds. Okay, just don't means hold yourself back from activity that is evil. So that's not like what the mitzvahs David said. And then he says v'harav moirei tzedek rabenu Moshe ben Maimon zal perish where. You're not going to get this in the Yad HaZakah. You're not going to get this in Sefer HaMitzvahs. You got to go to the guides, the Mori Nevuchim. And what does he say? She'apasuk hazeh mitzaveh lemaskilim hachashuvim she'yakiru ha'emes v'shevach hakel b'libam kidei shelo yasigem shegia b'dibur ve'ein zeh me'inyan ha'mizmar. Okay, he's saying that this pasuk is speaking. Who is it addressing? First of all, he says that it's talking to the maskilim. The maskilim does not mean like we not, say in the 21st century means good. It means the good maskilim, the tzaddikim, but not the average fellow. This pasuk is not addressing the average Joe. It's addressing the elite, and he's telling the elite, the people like the philosophers, the people that think la maskilim hachashuvim. Sheyakiru ha'emes v'shevach hakel b'libam. A person, when he's lying on his bed, he learns the word v'doimu. V'doimu basically means contemplate. Enter into the world of philosophy. It appears that the Rambam is saying that this v'doimu doesn't just mean he's silent. V'doimu, on the one hand, because k'dei shelo yasigem shegia b'dibur, they should not make a mistake with their words. But it's more than that. V'doimu means, it means contemplate upon the emes. Search very deeply for the emes and to recognize truth. Pursue the mida of emes. It's really very similar to what the Mitzvah David says, but he's saying it with much more flavor. Much more flavor. When you lie down, you have time to think. Take advantage. Delve deeply into the mysteries of the world. Recognize the emes. Recognize the praise of Hashem. And that will have an effect on you going forward. Tomorrow you'll be a different person. You will behave differently. You will not slip. Shelo yasigem shegia b'dibur, you will not slip. Now, what's very intriguing to me about this whole thing of the Mitzudos and the Rambam, the reason why I'm trying to bring this out is only because last week we spent time learning about sleeping. Sleeping. What is the purpose of going to sleep? This has really, 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 it's a struggle. Scientists for generations for what is the purpose? Why did Hashem create in man the need to sleep? Wouldn't it be better? What?
Otherwise he wouldn't be able to create woman.
Otherwise he wouldn't be able to create woman. Why? Today they do surgery when you're awake. Today there are a lot of techniques. Years ago, they would put out, give general anesthesia, which itself is probably the big, I once knew a person, he told me the biggest miracle that ever happened in this world. There's a person told this to me, person's not alive anymore. The biggest miracle in this world, don't tell me about going to the moon, don't tell me about medication, penicillin, and this, indoor plumbing, computers, don't tell. The biggest miracle is the discovery of anesthesia. General anesthesia. If not for general anesthesia, will be person is ill, person is sick, they need to do surgery. What are you going to do? How are you going to cope on a person? Cope on a person and do who knows what? The only way to heal people, even for sometimes even those simple things, you have to give anesthesia. You have to put the person out. It's an incredible gift. It's an unbelievable gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What?
Coma.
Artificial.
They put in a coma.
In a coma, right? They put a person in a induced coma, so he should heal. He should heal. It's an incredible thing. So, but today it is advanced to a degree. Baruch Hashem. No, anesthesia is very. It's dangerous anesthesia. Read up on anesthesia. How dangerous anesthesia is. It can linger in a person's body for years. To get the anesthesia out of your body, it's a very dangerous drug.
Part of surgery is
anesthesia, you give it drop too much. It's a very. It takes weeks. A lot of people, they know this from surgery. It takes a long time to recover. They think the reason why it's taking a long time to recover is because the wound didn't heal. No, the reason why they're not recovering is because the effects of the anesthesia linger for a very, very long time. So today it's very advanced. They try so hard not to give general anesthesia. They have other techniques to and the person mama should be awake. Mayor, they can make a woman when you're awake. But in any event, that's not our point over here. Is what's the purpose of going to sleep? So the point is this is the idea. Going to sleep is an opportunity for the mind to do something. To do like when you have your computer, you want to upgrade your computer. So it always tells you, let's schedule a time when your computer will update. Right? Today everything is, we have to update your computer. You have to download all this stuff and has to reboot 20 times. So the computer asks you, when is the best time we can do this? I don't want to disturb you during the day. You're probably working very hard. So let's do it at 3 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock in the morning, keep your computer on, and the computer will download all the information it needs, and it will reboot 20 times, and it will update. And in the process, the IRS will take a look what's going on as well, and the FBA, and FBI, everyone will check out what's doing by you also during that time as well. But in the meantime, why? When a person goes to sleep, you can basically... And I can't do this. I don't think anyone can do this really today, unless you're a real mumcha, is you give your mind a task to do when you're asleep. When I go to sleep, I just go to sleep. I couldn't care less. You go to sleep. Who cares? But people of the maskilim, who are so in control of their mind, they give their mind a task. I'm going to sleep. Now, I'm not going to waste time going to sleep. When I go to sleep, my consciousness shuts down, but my subconscious, it takes over. It takes all of the resources of my body, and it goes to work. It goes to work. And it creates, it discovers things which tomorrow morning will somehow percolate and enter into my consciousness, will make me into a different person. But you have to program this before you go to sleep. So when a person is lying on his bed, you're lying on your bed. So you're going to go to sleep now for 5, 6, 7 hours. Or you're going to waste 5, 6, 7 hours just going to the garbage, just going to close your eyes, shut down, and let your body. No! While my body rejuvenates, my mind is upgrading. It's going through an upgrade. But before you do the upgrade, you have to select what do you want to upgrade? What do you want to upgrade? What do you want your mind to think about at night? You want your mind to wander and recall all of the charts from the stock market to think, wait a minute, an Einfeld, this stock is going to go up based upon my analysis. So in the middle of the night, when I'm awake, I can't really think. When I'm sleeping, let my subconscious mind scan all the charts, that are in my mind, I've been seeing the entire day, and it will work and do algorithms to figure out which stock is going to go up.
But sleep is really also the mental.
Okay, that's another purpose of sleep. There are many reasons for sleep, but on a very advanced level, sleep is a time you can take advantage for your mind to do, to update. Just like a mushroom, in today's generation, we all know that our computers are continuously updating. Continuously updating. That's an incredible chachma. You have a smartphone, so you have apps. I have 75 apps on my smartphone. Would you believe it? Because I never delete them. I only use maybe two or three of them. The other ones I download, I don't even know what they are. So I look and it says over here, 30 apps have been updated in the last 20 days. As soon as the maker of the app releases a new version, automatically, the way the system is designed, automatically, on its own, it downloads the new version and updates it. That's what you do when you go to sleep. When you go to sleep, your mind is active. It is processing. But you have to tell it how to spend its time. Do you want your mind to spend its time by thinking about how to make more money? By thinking about pshat and taisis? Let's say you learn the Daf Gemara, and there's a very difficult question you have. I need time to think about it. I really need time to think how to answer the question. There's a student asked a question on Taisus. I don't know the answer. I really have to think, review all the material, so you know when I'm going to go to sleep, my mind subconsciously is going to be, if it says that really bothers me, if it really bothers me, it's going to happen automatically. So when I'm awake, I have no time to think. I'm running around the whole day doing this. You know, now I'm sleeping, now my mind can explore and find the answer to Taisus. But sometimes you can instruct it what it should be busy with at night. That's what it means over here. That's what I want to say means over here. Rigzu v'al techetah. A person, imru v'lvavchem al mishkavchem. What's the little meaning over here? Imru v'lvavchem al mishkavchem. So pashup shat, we're learning over here is what? Is that, oh, now is a free moment. Finally I have a free moment. I come home, I lie down. I don't know about you. I don't find it to be much of a free moment. Okay? Your mind is still racing. Mitzvah stuff, it says. What does he say over here? Al Mishkafkan. He's the only one that says it over here. Shehi Eis, when you lie down on your bed, Asher Machasheves Ha'adam Pinuyo Menatirda. It's at evening. Your mind is clear from things that bother you, from all the busyness of life. Then you can think about things. Okay, that's Pashup Shat. I think it's much deeper. The Rambam really alludes to this. And that is, you go into sleep now. Don't waste your time. When your mind is going to work, when your mind is going to process, is going to explore, you select what it should be busy with for the next 5, 6, 7 hours. And you know what it should be busy with? It should be busy with the doimu. It should be busy with the principles of Rigzu V'al Techetah. That's what give your mind instructions. Type into the console. This is what I want you to search for the next 5, 6 hours. Look at the words of the Rambam one more time. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's the Maim Chazal. Okay, that's the Maim Chazal, which we didn't do it yet. Maybe we'll talk about that. We'll do that maybe soon. But look at all these words one more time in the Rambam. It's unbelievable. In the Rambam, page 35, Kolomar, of the Harav Moedet Tzedek, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon Zal, Perish, Shapasik Azem Mitzavel Maskilim. Page 35. Do you see where it says Pasik Vav in the Radak? 35 in the Radak on the left side, in the Radak where it says Pasik Vav, Zivchu Zivchei Tzedek. So go up from there, 1, 2, 3, 4, four lines up. The Radak says, what does it mean? V'doimu Sela, V'harav, Moirei Tzedek, Rabbeinu, Moish ben Maimon Zal, Perash, Shapasik as the mitzaveh lamaskilin is giving a command to the wise, hachashuvim, the wise who are very distinguished, sheyakiru ha'emes, they should recognize the truth, v'shevach ha'kel b'libam, and the praise of Hashem in their hearts, kidei shelo yasigem shigia b'dibur, so they should not come to make a mistake with their speech. It's similar to what the Mitzvot David says. It's not exactly what I'm trying to read, but I'm trying to read that that's what the Rambam is telling you to do. Giving you a command. What's the command? What is the command is, this is what I want the mind to be occupied for the next 5-6 hours. According to the Pshuta Shel Mikra, oh, now you got a free moment. You come, you lie down. So what do you think about now? You're lying down. So you might... So now, chaperein, a few, and from the, how long does it take you from the time you lie down on the bed until you fall asleep? Everyone is different. Some people can fall asleep within 30 seconds. Some people can take 2 hours. It can take 2 hours to fall asleep. Some people, they don't fall asleep. They're up the whole night, rachman al-tzlan. They need medication. So I want to suggest, during that time, because they have a healthy young man who had put in a good day, he's a healthy person, he falls asleep and he's tired, he worked a good, put in a hard day, he'll fall asleep within 30 seconds. So during those 30 seconds, reflect about a Kaddish Baruch Hu. You know, sometimes you're so tired, you put in a good day, don't tell me what to think about. I don't have even time to think, you're exhausted. So you lie there, you fall asleep, you don't, it takes effort. That's not what it means. It means you're going to sleep now. I'm not telling you to 30 seconds. What's it going to do for you 30 seconds? Nothing. But 4, 5, 6 hours, that will do a lot for you. But you have to program yourself to do it. You have to give yourself, your mind, the instructions. This is what I want you to do the next 6 hours. Now, I'm saying words because I can't do this. Obviously, this is not something, I don't have that kind of mind. And I would assume that 99% of the people that I know can't do this either. But it's very obvious that years ago in a different world, different generation, different time, there were people that were very disciplined and couldn't do this. And that's what's mashal from Chazal. When you go to sleep, there's discipline in sleeping. I remember I went to the Living Torah Museum. The Living Torah Museum was a shocking thing. Rabbi Deutsch, where he showed us the, it says, you read in Parashat Shemos, Vayishtachu al Rosh Hamita. Then Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro. What does it say there? I forgot.
Yaakov,
al Rosh Hamita. I think it's by Paro. It's by Yosef. Right. I'm sorry. You are right. I'm sorry. Yosef comes to Yaakov. Right. Vayhine Choyle. And he comes there. Vayishtachu Yisrael Rosh Hamita. So what does that mean? So in our minds, you mean at night, go to one of these on the radio. They have sleepies. Get the rest. What's one of these stores that sell mattresses. So you imagine you go to one of these stores. They have mattresses. They have beds. There's a headboard. You know. So Yaakov is lying on a bed, and there's a beautiful headboard, and he bowed al Rosh Hamita. What does that mean? What does Rosh Hashanah mean? We superimpose what we have in the 21st century. Oh, that's what it must have meant back then, 3,000 years ago. Rabbi Deutsch, he has there in his museum, if I'm not mistaken, basically a piece of wood. It's shaped like a curve and it's like a little thing that comes out. It could be this was even 3,000 years ago. Takes it out of the glass. You know, everything there is hands on. You go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, they wouldn't open up the glass cage for you for all the money in the world. By him, he takes out everything out of the glass cage and he puts it on your hand. And he says, this is from 3,000 years ago. It's worth $1 million. I bought this. You know why I bought this? Where should this be? In a museum locked up? You know who should see this? The Tinoiko Shel Beis Rabban, who learn Chumash. They should hold it in their hands. That's what it's for. It's worth $1 million to buy this from a museum. So I should bring in here the third grade from Torah Tanima, they can hold it in their hands. They should know the pshat and the pasuk. It's worth every penny. What, they should go sit in Morocco in the museum in the glass cage, and who's going to come look at it? It should be over here in Borough Park. Every yeshiva should come hold this. So I don't remember all the details, but he took out this little thing. What? This is the Rosh Hashanah. What? Because you don't understand, in Egypt, they didn't sleep on mattresses. They slept on the floor, and they put their head in a brace. They put their head in a brace so it shouldn't move. And they were positioned. Why? Because when they went to sleep, it was an activity. It was, you come home, you're tired, you collapse, you lie down on a nice mattress that's soft, and you can have it adjusted to the hardness and softness that you want, and this side and that side, and all this technology. If the Egyptians saw the way we sleep today, they would be in disbelief. That's how you sleep. Sleeping is an activity. It is a time when your mind is able to do things that it cannot do when you're awake. When you're awake, you are distracted by the world of reality, by your activities. So your mind doesn't have the ability to enter into its subconscious, in the depth, to make calculations and explore information. When you go to sleep and your body is at a time where it needs to be rejuvenated, your mind is free to a degree. And during that time, your mind has the opportunity to do things that it could not do when it was awake. So what should it do? Well, you tell it what to do. Don't let it just on its own, have some fantasy dreams. You give it instructions. What is the activity, the goal for tonight? Tonight, are we going to figure out which stock is going to go up in the next tomorrow? Or are we going to figure out how I can outsmart my friend? Or you're going to work on your Yirah Shemayim. Rigzu v'al techetohu. That's what Imru v'lvavchem. Rambam, give a command. Command. Rambam, what really called me is the word tzaveh. Mitzaveh. It's not really what Rambam is. This is what Imru, you shall command. Give Imru v'lvavchem. These are the instructions that I'm giving you, al mishkavchem. When you're lying down, this is what I want you to engage in for the next 6 hours. That's what I want you to do. Don't go lie down and waste the time. Now, I mean, to us, it's a joke. Obviously, we're not on a level to do this type, but there's a science. There's chokhmah. And you have to appreciate what the pasuk is coming to tell you.
Why do we say three times when we go to sleep this pasuk?
I'll tell you, why do we say Ashrei three times? I'll tell you what it says about us. This is a Chazal. No, it's the same answer. So why do we say Ashrei three times a day? Halavai, you should at least say it once. With Kavana. Yes, what it says. But it says, you say, you sip Sukkot Dezim, it comes late. At least the end of the evening, some people they leave early. Mincha, we see what goes on by Mincha. You say Ashrei before, you don't say Ashrei. If you'll say it three times, the beginning of Shachris, after you finish Shemona Esrei by Mincha, maybe you'll get lucky. You'll say it at least one time with Kavan. So you say it three times, maybe you'll penetrate. All right, we'll have to stop over here. We'll see. Maybe tomorrow we'll just do a little bit more, and then we're going to move on to Mizmar. Hey.
Today's birthright is
of
Avram, the son of the Rambam.
Ooh, Avram ben Rambam.
Also Rambam. There's a bitch. That's the words.